All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type Vietnam, 1969, a helicopter pilot with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company. Well, it's been kind of an interesting week. I hope everybody out there had the opportunity to watch Ken Burns and his Vietnam documentary. We've got a guest coming up here in just a moment after our announcements. Joe Galloway is going to be on our program today. And for those of you that are familiar with Joe, you know that he was one of the co-authors of We Were Soldiers Once and Young with Hal Moore. And he's also participated in the Ken Burns documentary. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the reaction to it and what he thought about it. And so if you've got a question or you've got a comment about the documentary, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio today. Our live studio line is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. Or you can call us toll free at 844-838-1600. 1600. That's 844-838-1600. So it's been a pretty exciting week. And in addition to the Vietnam documentary that we were, well, a lot of us watched, let's put it that way. And it was probably difficult for some of us to watch that. I know I have talked to a number of veteran friends who said it was just too much. And so they DVR'd it and recorded it, and they're going to look at it at another time. But I think it's a powerful documentary, and if you get the opportunity, I would strongly suggest that you watch it, especially the first couple of episodes, I think, that told the story of our getting involved in Vietnam. That was most enlightening to me. At the bottom of the hour, we've got a number of guests on to talk about TBI, traumatic brain injuries, and we're going to be talking about especially how traumatic brain injuries affect women, women veterans, and women in general. So I want you to make sure you stick around for that at the bottom of the hour. I think that that is a very important topic, and it's something else that we're going to be, you know, we talk about these things all the time here on Veterans Radio, and I think that it's very important that we talk about how we can help anybody who's had a TBI or a post-traumatic stress. And there are a lot of things going on out there, my friends, that are great when you think about all the organizations that are trying to help out. And I think that's wonderful. And one of the big things I got to tell you this. I just slipped myself a note here. I got a phone call this week. Surprisingly, I mean, many of us make donations to organizations that are helping out either veterans or different, you know, catastrophes around the world right now, especially with all the hurricanes that have been ravaging the South and Southeast. And so we made a donation to Team Rubicon. Team Rubicon is a group of veterans that they say disaster is their business. And I should find the line here anyway. And veterans are their cause. And so what it is, it started out quite a while ago with the earthquake in Haiti and Dominican Republic down there, remember? And some of these guys got together and said, what can we do? Well, let's go help them out. That's what we do. So they all met up and headed toward Haiti and worked on that. And then they found that this was something so powerful and something that they felt so good about giving back to the country that they decided to do this on a fairly regular basis. So there are lots of different things that you could do to help Team Rubicon. But the point is that after we made a donation to Team Rubicon, I think it was for Harvey, the first one, I got a call this week from a volunteer at Team Rubicon thanking me for my donation. Didn't ask for any more money. Didn't ask for anything. He just wanted to give us a call and thank you, Dale, for making this donation. So I encourage you to go to their website because they're going to Puerto Rico next. And obviously it costs a lot of money to get these men and women out in the field. And you don't necessarily have to be somebody that goes down and cleans up after the floods or cleans people, you know, get people out of their houses or rebuild their houses and stuff. They need volunteers for everything. And right now, they've got a couple of organizations that are matching funds when it comes to your donation. So for one thing, AT&T is doing it. So and they're matching $1 million. So if you give $10 and 100,000 people give $10, there's another $1 million. And there's another organization, I can't quite find the name for it right now, but that is also matching. So I encourage you to go to Team Rubicon. And the website is Team Rubicon. USA.org, and there's a donate button up in the corner, and you can donate money to them. And so I think it's a great organization. I think it's something that we can do as a veterans organization, as a civilian organization, to help out these victims of these natural catastrophes. And it's something that we, you know, sometimes we can't afford to wait for the government to get involved, and we've got to do it on our own. So here's an opportunity for you to help out. So go to teamrubicon.org, click on the donate, make a donation if you can, or volunteer your time, whatever it is that you want to do. They need your help. So go to and do that. That's an order, right? Teamrubicon.org. TeamRubiconUSA.org, excuse me. The other organization, of course, that we're always talking about here is our Fisher House Michigan. And again, that's FisherHouseMichigan.org. And it's another great organization that is attempting to help out the families of veterans in the local Ann Arbor area when they, you know, they're building a sort of a Ronald McDonald House for veterans families here at the Ann Arbor VA. And so they're looking for help there too. And they've got some matching things going on, and they've got some great events that are going to be coming up in October and November, especially with Veterans Day coming up in November. So I encourage you to go to FisherHouseMichigan.org. Help them out if you can. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to come right back with our first guest of today's program, and that's Joe Galloway. So don't go away. We'll be right back. And we are back on Veterans Radio, and we're welcoming our first guest of the program, and that's Joe Galloway. And Joe has, is currently working as a special consultant on the Vietnam War 50th Anniversary Project that's run out of the Office of Secretary of Defense. He's also served as a consultant on the Ken Burns production, as I mentioned there. He was also, he's done a lot. He's a veteran's veteran, and he's never really been a veteran, except that he did get a Bronze Star for what he did in the Ijang Valley. So, Joe Galloway, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Yep, happy to be with you, Dale.
Thank you very much for agreeing to come on the program. You know, we've been following you all the way along. I was going to play the segment where you call helicopter pilots God's own lunatics, but I couldn't get my hands on it quick enough. You have been involved as a war correspondent back as far back as the Vietnam War. Is that correct?
Four tours in Vietnam and a lot of wars since then.
Wow. So, I guess our audience really needs to know, how were you involved with the Vietnam documentary from Ken Burns?
I first was asked by them to sit for an interview. It turned out to be 11 hours of interview in two sessions in New York City 6 years ago. Ooh. And after the interviews, they asked that I come on as a permanent consultant. And I've been helping out as best I could since then. 2 years ago, I went up to Ken's house in New Hampshire and with the other advisors on this project, sat down, and we watched the roughs. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so good then, I was saying, you know, go ahead and broadcast it now. But Ken's a perfectionist, and they did it all exactly right and took their time. And I've watched each of the episodes night by night like everybody else has. And I've got to say that I think it was magnificent storytelling and history telling. And even if you count yourself an expert on Vietnam, if you served there, if you've read the books, still this 18 hours in 10 parts was great. And I'm proud to have been associated with the production, even in a small way.
Well, I found it to be a really compelling type of program because of all the history lessons that, you know, being in Vietnam, and you probably researched it more than we did when we went in as military people, but I was not aware of the history of it. I wasn't aware of a lot of the political aspects of our involvement there. And I thought that was the most interesting part of it, and the most disturbing part, really, was the...
Exactly. I you know, you watch that, and it just makes your blood run cold to see one president after another. If you look back far enough, you see five American presidents in a row had their finger on what became the Vietnam War and what became really an American disaster.
Mm-hmm. And I want to, we're talking with Joe Galloway here, who would appear in the Ken Burns documentary, but Joe also is a well-known writer and historian. As you just mentioned, you know, served his own four tours in Vietnam and was in the I Drang Valley. And if you want to know about that story, you can read his We Were Soldiers Once and Young. But the idea of the political side of it, and I guess what I wanted to say is that from a military standpoint, we didn't lose any battles. We could have wiped out the whole country if we'd wanted to, if anybody had really thought about it. And that kind of would have been the wrong way to go anyhow. But it wasn't militarily. It was a lack of will, I think, on the part of the politicians and then eventually on the part of our civilians to, you know, carry that conflict to its end. Would you agree with that?
I would say that no matter what we did, even if we sent in a million troops instead of half a million, the Vietnamese were never going to quit. Mm-hmm. General Moore, my co-author, and I sat down for three interviews with General Vo Nguyen Giap, the North Vietnamese commander, and I said, General, they say that you sent a million of your own countrymen to their deaths in this war. And he looked at me and he said, yes. And I would have sent 5 million or 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
We would have fought on for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, if that's what it took to get the foreigners out of our country. And I was left in no doubt that he would have done exactly that. And we could still be there. We could still be fighting, or rather our children and our grandchildren could still be fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It broke my heart to watch this documentary night after night and see great young Americans who answered the country's call. Either they were drafted or they enlisted, and they were sent halfway around the world to fight other young men in a war in which we really had no place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very interesting that comment that you just made in there, and I can't remember if. I'm sure it was in the documentary. I heard it. I wouldn't have the ability to think of this on my own. Is that, you know, that it was a revolution in Vietnam for, you know, for them throwing off all these outside, as you mentioned, all these colonial powers that wanted to control Vietnam. And that's all they wanted. They didn't care. I don't think if it was French or American or whoever it was. They just wanted to get them out of their country. And the one comment in the documentary was, don't we normally support revolutions?
And that's it. Our country was founded with a revolution.
Right.
You know, we managed somehow to throw the British out of our country when they were the most powerful nation on earth. And you could look at Vietnam and say we were the most powerful nation on earth, mm-hmm. but they managed to throw us out. They managed to throw the French out. They threw out the Japanese. You know, they had the French owned that place for 100 years and used it as a cash cow.
Right.
And they wanted it back. And Giap and Ho Chi Minh were determined that they would not get it back, that Vietnam would have its freedom and its independence. Hard to argue against that.
Well, they did, though. They didn't tell us. I think what's what's interesting, Joe, is I got a number of calls this week, which I was really kind of shocked about. And one was from a very good friend of mine who I had not heard from in almost 30 years. And he had been in Vietnam, but he said, I was watching this, and I suddenly realized that I had something I had to say about this. He said, I just couldn't hold it in any longer. And he was just talking about, you know, what had occurred to him there, and it just something that he had never, I guess, really addressed in his own way. And I had some other people call and say, this is so powerful. And I had civilians that called and they said, you know, we never knew this is what you and your, you know, all the other veterans went through while you were there. And I think that it was, even though there's a lot of, I don't know what you're going to call it, you know, some people are trying to politicize it, is I think it was very healthy for a lot of people just to see what it, you know, it confirmed some of their thoughts about it. It also brought out new information that they had to process.
All of those things are good. That's a healthy thing that Mr. Burns and Lynn Novick have done in producing this. They worked for 12 years. Interviewed over 100 individuals on camera on every side. They have tried to be even-handed. They have tried to be fair. And yes, there are people who are angry for one reason or another. Their unit wasn't mentioned. Their battle didn't get enough attention.
Right.
All of that. But if you step back and look at it, you've got to say it was great storytelling and great history telling.
Well, I like the idea that they didn't invite, or I don't know if they did or not, but they didn't show any of the politicians of the time, or they didn't interview them, the ones that were still around, about, you know, what they thought and why they did what they did and so on and so forth. I like that part.
Yeah, we didn't need to hear from those guys one more time.
No.
And it's just as well that Robert S. McNamara did, and because I'd hate to see him interviewed in that series.
Right, yes. he tried to make amends himself, and it was probably a little bit too late for him to do that, but it's...
Way too late. You know, the guy knew in 1965, wrote a memo to LBJ dated November 30th, 1965, in which he told Johnson that we could give Westmoreland the 200,000 more troops he wanted, or we could make arrangements diplomatically and get out of that place. But if we gave Westmoreland those extra troops and whatever he asked for, that by 1967 there would be 500,000 Americans in Vietnam. They'd be dying at the rate of 1,000 a month. He was wrong. It was 3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And all we can possibly achieve, and I'm quoting here, is a military stalemate at a much higher level of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson had that memo in his hand, and he called a meeting of the wise men at the White House on 15 December 1965, and they sat there and argued about it for a couple of days, and then voted unanimously to give Westmoreland the additional troops he was asking for, even though they knew we couldn't win. And that's the part that just chills my blood, makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. If McNamara and those guys knew we couldn't win, but kept on sending more American boys there to die and to be wounded and to be damaged, I can't even come to a, I can't say what I think on a radio.
I think I understand what it is you want to say, and it's the same thing that many of the people that I talked to is that they were so angry that there was a legitimate way and an honorable way to get out of it. And
yeah, exactly. And to watch that drag on and to see Nixon get elected, on a promise to end the war, and yet he drug it out for another 5 years and another 25,000 dead American boys. This is the kind of stuff that you ought to go to hell for.
You never know, right?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure.
If there is, that's where some of them went, I hope.
Yep, exactly. You know, and I look at McNamara, and there's something that didn't get mentioned in the documentary, but have you ever heard of Project 100,000?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. This is okay. A thing McNamara came up with to draft 100,000 Category 4 draftees. We're talking here people with an IQ below 70.
Oh, my.
They drafted 100,000 of these poor guys who didn't even know how to tie their bootlaces. They had to print field manual comic books to get them through basic training. And they couldn't qualify for anything but 11 Bravo infantry. And they were shipped to Vietnam, and they died at a rate three times higher than the average draftee. And they did this for 3 years running. And they did it because McNamara and Johnson knew, hey, that's 300,000 more American boys who don't have mamas who will complain, who don't know a congressman who will raise hell on their behalf. And, you know, that there's things like that about the Vietnam War that you just want to make you cry, man.
That does want to make you cry. That makes you angry as hell, because the idea of even 100,000, or because they went for the draft, from what I got from the documentary, is they went from, you know, drafting 10,000 a month to 30,000 a month in 67. Was that part of this Operation 100,000?
Well, they were part of it.
Wow.
That just, you know, how can you do something like that and look at yourself to shave in the mirror? I just, I've had an absolute hatred for Bob McNamara ever since I learned about this.
When we get together with other veterans, it's always very interesting when we try to sit sort of chronologically with the guys who were there in 65, and then we talk to the guys that were there in 71. It's a totally different war, of course.
And absolutely. You know, the truth about Vietnam is that we didn't fight one war for 10 years. We mm-hmm. fought 10 wars each 1 year.
Right. And I think that was a big mistake. By sending us there for 1 year, everybody knew when they were going home.
Yep.
And they went, but the problem was, this is not really, the problem was is that we didn't come home as a group. We came home by ourselves, and then when we got home, nobody really cared about the whole idea. Well,
exactly. You know, people went over as an individual. They were dropped in a unit on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew them. They didn't know anyone. They didn't know what they were getting into. And, you know, 60% of the casualties taken in Vietnam occurred during an individual's first 3 months.
I can believe that. I know we lost
people that way.
That's
a learning curve that was paid for in blood.
Wow. Well Joe, thank you very much for being on the program. I hope we can come back on and discuss this in a little bit more detail at some point. I encourage people to watch this documentary. You may not like it all, but it's such a strong program and brings out all the different angles of it. I know that one of the things that some veterans were upset about was there wasn't that positive story about, you know, soldiers rescuing children and building buildings and so on and so forth. But I don't, you know, how do you include everything in these things? So anyway, we got about 2 minutes to go, so I'll let you wrap up what you would like to say.
Well, I just urge those who haven't seen it to get it, see it. EBS is rerunning it. It's an educational thing. Whether you served in Vietnam or whether you protested against it or whatever, you owe it to yourself to learn the history of what led us into that war, what kept us in that war, and why it's still so painful to look at.
It is. It is. And Joe Galloway, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio again, and I hope that we can get you back and talk more about these.
All right. Take care, Dale.
All right. Thank you very much. Joe Galloway is a veterans friend, one of the authors of We Were Soldiers Once and Young, consultant to the Ken Burns documentary. He's done a lot of great things. So I encourage you to watch this program. If you watch it and you're having some difficulty watching it, there are helpful things that you can do. At the bottom of their website, there's the phone number for the VA Vet Center call center, and that number right now is, real quick, write it down, 877-927-8387. And if you feel that you're in a crisis, call the crisis hotline. It's 800-273-8255. Press the number 1. 800-273-8255. Press 1. We're out there to help you. Don't do this by yourself. There are plenty of people that want to help you. When we come back, we're going to be talking to women about some of the issues that they go through in the military. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and I wanted to wish a happy birthday to General Patrick Brady, who you just heard the Medal of Honor for. It's his birthday today, so I wanted to get that out to him. And we also have a caller on the line who'd like to comment on our interview with Joe Galloway. So, Mike, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, Dale, for taking my call. I just wanted to say I watched the whole series, and it was a good history lesson. Except for, I think there were two glaring things that were missed on it. And my first point was that we weren't the invaders. The North Vietnamese were the ones that came over the DMZ. We didn't go the other way. Mm-hmm. And also, Ken Burns didn't mention anything about how when the Vietnamese came over, the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, how they went into villages and how they terrorized the villagers and killed village leaders and raped their wives and their daughters so that they would, caches of rice and other things that they needed. And I thought that was kind of like a glaring omission on it. You know, I was hoping that they would get a little bit into that. They kind of made it out that the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong were kind of almost like the good guys.
No, I understand what you're saying, Mike, and I've heard that comment throughout the whole week, that they left out the atrocities on the other side. They didn't necessarily, you know, they talked about My Lai and some of the things that American troops were involved in, but they never mentioned some of the horrible stories that probably you and I both have heard or even witnessed. And I appreciate you very much calling in. And I'd like to do another program on this documentary in probably about a month or so. Let it all, you know, sink in, and then we can go back and maybe we can correct some of the things that we thought were missed. How's that sound?
I think that would be a great idea.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Why don't you leave your number with Derek when you get the chance? Don't hang up, in other words.
Okay.
And we'll get your number to Derek, and we can go from there.
Okay.
So thanks very much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Dale.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, we know that documentary is going to rouse up some people, and it's good. I think it's good to get people emotional over some things, and maybe we can actually discuss them rationally, and that's hopefully what we can do in the next couple of months, because we had an unusual number of responses, I guess you could say, on this program, and I'm very pleased that they did call, and I'm glad that Mike called in and felt that he could. So we'll get back to you when we decide to do that program. But right now, I'm sitting in front of three women, which is kind of cool anyway. Don't hit me. I shouldn't have said that, I know. doesn't happen ordinarily here. Our flyer for this week had, you know, calling all women veterans, but it's not all women veterans. It's women in general. And joining me in the studio right now is Arlene Callahan. And Arlene is the director of Women Supporting Women Veterans. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us, Dale.
All right. I've got Diane Dugan, who is from the Program Outreach Coordinator for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan.
Hi. It's great to be here.
And then I've got Maria, who is a brain injury survivor, who's going to talk about the difficulty it is kind of working your way through the system. If that doesn't turn, I'll get them closer to the microphone here. So let's start off with Arlene. And all right, here's our go. So Arlene, tell me how the you got started. How did this Women Supporting Women Veterans get going?
Well, our organization started 6 years ago, but more importantly, the organization that we'd like to talk about today is the Women Supporting Women for Traumatic Brain Injury. Okay. And it got started about a year and a half ago. We were approached by Eisenhower Center to develop a program similar to their program that they already have for the athletes and the veterans with brain mm-hmm. injury. And we met with them, and it wasn't feasible for us to have women away from their home for 30 days. The mm-hmm. After the Impact program is great, but for women, it just didn't seem like it was reasonable. And also, we couldn't actually identify any female athletes with brain injury. So in the meantime, Diane and I were talking, and we thought that this whole concept was a great one to put women together mm-hmm. with brain injury. And so she suggested that there were some women that were volunteers at their organization, and maybe we should try and put them together just kind of to see how this whole thing would work. So that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And Maria was one of the women, and we had a woman vet who came in, mm-hmm. and we kind of expected them to sit and chat for 20 minutes, maybe 30. Well, it was over 2 hours later, and they're still talking, mm-hmm. and they're sharing, and they're talking about their challenges. They're not focusing on how the injury occurred, which is the whole concept that Eisenhower has put together. We went over and had lunch afterwards, and it was great. And one of the things that they mentioned, both of them, and agreed upon was, you know, brain injury is one thing, and there's a lot of men out there that have brain injury, but they felt, and of course, being Women Supporting Women Vets, I kind of concurred that women have other challenges that men don't have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of support groups out there. They're great. But they don't always focus on the challenges that are specific to women. And they would like to enlarge this group with just women with brain injury. So after that, okay. That's what Diane and I decided we were going to do, and that's what we're doing. We're reaching out to all women with brain injury, mm-hmm. but personally, I'd like to see a lot of women veterans come and join our organization. We all know that women can get traumatic brain injury through their military experience, but there is also a group of women veterans who are suffering brain injury from domestic violence. So we'd mm-hmm. like to reach out to them as well.
And how would they get a hold of you? Well, I'll do this periodically through the whole thing, but the idea is all right, I'll go over to you, Debbie, then. All right, we pass the baton. So we've got Diane Dugan here, who's with the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And so how did somebody get in touch with you folks to help out?
Okay. Well, the group that we have, it's called Women Empowering Women. This is the group that Arlene and I started, and we meet on a monthly basis. We don't have a set date each month, so that's why it's really important for women to call us to see when the next group will be scheduled. Our next group, we do have a date, and that's October 31st, Halloween. And we meet at the Brain Injury Association of Michigan's office in Brighton. That address is 7305 Grand River, Brighton, Michigan, 48114. I can also be reached at 1-800 844-644-6443. It's a toll-free number. So if there are any women out there listening to this program and feel like this group might be beneficial for them, please contact me at the Brain Injury Association office.
Okay, so this meeting, as you said, is on Halloween, 10/31/17. Is there a time, or do they need
yes.
to make a reservation? Or
The time is from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And they don't really have to make a reservation, but it's good if they call so we can just get an idea of how many people might mm-hmm. come.
Do you send out a monthly newsletter or a weekly newsletter or something like that? And maybe people could go to the Brain Center and sign up to receive it? Or
we don't have a newsletter yet.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working on a lot of things. But if a woman wants to come, she can give me her information, her email, her phone number. And then each month I will send out a reminder about the mm-hmm. next group, usually about a week before.
Okay. I'm supposed to ask you a question here about defining to us what a TBI is.
Okay. Well, a brain injury refers to anything that causes brain cell death and the loss of function. It often results in, it results in having problems with concentration or, you know, how you feel. Your emotions sometimes become kind of jumbled. It can affect people in many different ways. A brain injury, a brain injury is different for everyone. So you can have an acquired brain injury, which is a brain injury that occurs after birth. It's called an acquired brain injury, or ABI. And these brain injuries, they're not hereditary or congenital, nor are they degenerative. They are injuries such as tumors and strokes. Mm-hmm. Then we have a traumatic brain injury, the TBI, and that is a injury to the brain, like a blow or a jolt to the head, or some type of penetrating wound to the head. A concussion is also a brain injury, a TBI.
Well, talking with other people on the program about TBIs and post-traumatic stress is that a lot of times the symptoms are similar.
They are.
And, mm-hmm. you know, until they do, I don't know if it's a brain scan or MRI or whatever it might be, and they can actually see the damage that was there, that sometimes it's probably misdiagnosed, I would think.
Yes, that does happen quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And especially for women, when we were mentioning earlier, Arlene had mentioned women who suffer brain injury in a domestic violence situation. Sometimes they're not even aware that they do have a brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know to ask about it. They don't know to talk to their doctor and say, hey, could you please assess me for a brain injury? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of women, and men as well, but there are a lot of people out there who suffered a brain injury and they don't even realize it.
Well, Maria, I'm going to ask you a question now. Thank you very much for agreeing to be on the program. And you have suffered a traumatic brain injury, and you were mentioning earlier on that sometimes it gets misdiagnosed or you don't necessarily get the care that you deserve. Put it that way.
Yes. There's so much being learned currently about brain injuries that it's like cancer diagnosis 50 years ago. You know, mm-hmm. people are learning more about it. It's sometimes you're not aware even yourself, especially if you're single. You may know you're struggling with something. You can't quite put your finger on it. You're just trying to get through your day and accomplish, whether it's work or take care of things at home, just trying to make it through, and mm-hmm. you're struggling.
Can't figure it out. We were talking earlier, Arlene, you mentioned that sometimes the traumatic brain injury affects women differently because of our expectations of their home life.
Women are traditionally caregivers. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's a husband and wife, children, or even elderly parents that they're taking care of. Some of the things that women are expected to do, such as grocery shop, plan meals for their children, plan meals for the family, those are very, very challenging. Going to the grocery store and all of the audio that comes in at the grocery store, you don't realize it. And I don't realize it, but there's music playing. There's all kinds of conversations going on. If you have a brain injury, focusing on the grocery list that you have is difficult. Mm-hmm. Getting home once you've actually purchased your groceries or ordered them online, which is what some of the women are doing now, which is great. Mm-hmm. Putting a menu together, putting a recipe together. Again, as Maria suggested, getting organized, and that's what putting a meal together is. So that's challenging. Then you have the fact that you can't do it and you have children, all of a sudden there's a guilt factor that comes in. I can't take care of my kids like I used to. I used to work and go to school and plan my meals and get my kids everywhere they wanted to go. I can't do that anymore. Am I a bad mom? No, of course you're not. But there is a guilt factor that comes in. So it's something that is usually unique to the female side of a relationship.
Yeah, Maria, you mentioned the idea that you didn't like going to grocery stores because of the chaos that sometimes appears to you.
Yeah, the visual stimulation, I mean, the shelves are very busy with things. The noise, as Arlene discussed. And also the lights can be very difficult for people, especially right after their brain injury. You might need to wear sunglasses. The brain is very, very sensitive in many people who have had a brain injury. And it takes time for this to recover. And sometimes it will linger.
As Arlene mentioned, you know, we don't care where the injury came from, but how long ago were you injured?
I was injured at the end of 2013.
Okay. And how would you describe your behavior at that point compared to now?
Can you explain a little more what you
I just meant, I'm just meaning, was it more difficult for you to, was it more difficult for you to function out in society, or have you made advances over that 4-year time period?
It's some things are a little easier because of rehab I received. Mm-hmm. Other things, because of the delay for myself in recognizing the problems, because I was just trying to continue going to work and keep my life afloat. Mm-hmm. These problems have arisen to my awareness, or people have brought them to my attention since I've been around family more, and it's very, very challenging. So I'd like to get back to work. I'm not in a place I can do that yet because I have severe sound problems, and also with some of the cognitive problems I'm still dealing with. It's overwhelming, and the fatigue factor sets
in. I can understand that. I wish you the best, and I hope that
Thank you.
You know, even just being in the small group that you mentioned that you're just starting, it has to be helpful.
It's absolutely helpful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's not only connecting with other people, but also learning about different strategies, different. Medical providers, rehab providers that have been helpful to different individuals. It's a wonderful thing to connect with others and just have that acceptance that we're all doing our best and we just want to get better.
I think that's all you can do. Is that somebody who told me once about post-traumatic stress? You can never forget the experience. You just have to learn to work around it. Mm-hmm. And, to function in daily life. And it's an ongoing process. It never really goes away. It's just today I'll take this tiny step and then this tiny step and this tiny step. Mm-hmm. And I admire the whole thing. I'm thinking, we're talking about the guilt. You know, some of us have, can relate to that in that you're not doing what you think you're supposed to be able to do. You mentioned, and I'll I'll leave Maria to think about this. But she had mentioned the idea of having difficulty working with insurance companies. Could you address that, Diane?
Yes, I think with a lot of brain injury survivors, because they may have issues, you know, thinking clearly, problem solving, concentrating, and especially if you're alone, and you go and you speak to a healthcare provider or an insurance company representative, whether it's in person or over the phone, it's a real struggle for folks because maybe they can't process the information like they used to, mm-hmm. and the people on the other end don't always understand that. And I know, hearing from Maria and other women in the group, people get impatient with them. When a brain injury survivor might ask someone, could you please slow down, or could you please look at me when you speak, because mm-hmm. I have problems focusing. Some people don't always understand that. And because, again, a brain injury is not a real visible
right.
injury.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of assumptions that are made. And so, as we all know, working with insurance companies, it can be extremely overwhelming. And unless you have another person there to kind of help you or advocate for you, it's a real, real struggle for a lot of our folks.
Okay. So is this something that the Traumatic Brain Association of Michigan would be doing to act as an advocate for
people? We have. We don't necessarily provide individual advocacy unless it's just a very pressing situation. We hope to expand that within mm-hmm. our organization. But I think what this group does offer is other women can advocate for each mm-hmm. other. And they have done that already since we started this group. So I think that's a real positive factor for this group. And also, I just wanted to say one thing that I've heard since we started this group from a lot of women is when they come to the group, they sit there and they listen or they participate. At the end of the group, they often say, I am so relieved I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And that is so important for people to know that you're not alone with this brain injury.
I would think, and I'll go back to you, Arlene, I would think that the idea of the group is that somebody who has gone before you can say, okay, when you talk to the insurance company, say this, don't say that, almost. It's kind of a lesson learned.
And I think that has actually happened in the group. And as Diane mentioned, we do try to be advocates for the other women, or they're advocates for each other. Mm-hmm. And we've had some real successful situations where that has made the brain injury survivor more comfortable, and actually they've gotten what they needed out of a meeting or an appointment with a doctor. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, if we can just make them more comfortable so that they get their point across and that meeting or that appointment is as fruitful as it can be for both parties.
All right. I can understand it. We've only got 5 minutes left. I told you this goes fast, right? So you wanted to both talk about the education with the comment here was education with professional. What does that mean, Diane?
I think it's our half-day session that we are putting together?
Yes, we're hoping to have a half-day seminar. We're looking at probably in the springtime. And we want to invite speakers who know brain injury. And we're hoping to have, you know, 30, 40, 50 women participate. But it's going to be, you know, brain injury focus, of course. And it's going to mm-hmm. be geared towards women. And the other thing that we're looking at doing for our monthly groups is starting to invite guest speakers to come in mm-hmm. To speak to some of the issues that these women have. So we hope to start that up real soon.
I know you also on the list here is weekend and retreats as well.
Well, Camp Liberty has offered the lodge that they mm-hmm. have there, and some of their resources from the Eisenhower Center to come in and take care of our women for a lovely weekend. If you've been to Camp Liberty, you know that it's peaceful and quiet and serene, which is the type of atmosphere that is very conducive to brain injury survivors.
I think that the synergy of all of these different organizations is what I'm so excited to hear about, with the Eisenhower Center and with your groups and survivors of a traumatic brain injury, getting all together and sharing the knowledge that they have. You know, not everybody's, you know, an expert on this, but maybe they know something about that, and that can help people get the help that they need. Mm-hmm. I think especially with the, you know, the health insurance issues that are going on out there, it has to be something that people are concerned with. You know, if they make changes, is this one of those things that's going to fall through the cracks and not necessarily get the treatment that we need? So I want to make sure that the people understand that. So it mentioned transportation. You know, I got that little message there too. So are you helping people get to appointments? Or are you helping people get to your meetings?
Well, if someone does have a challenge getting to one of the meetings, we will do what we can to pick them up and bring them. We're currently looking at other organizations that have transportation for veterans in particular to appointments to the VA, and to see if they will expand that to include someone coming from the various VAs in Ann Arbor or Detroit to Brighton. I mean, we don't have any buses that come out there.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we're looking for. But we will make arrangements to pick someone up and bring them to the meeting and obviously get them back home.
I think, you know, you can give a shout out right now and say, hey, all you organizations out there that are helping people, give us a call because we need your help too.
Absolutely.
So let's review here because we don't have much time. All right. So what am I looking at?
The phone number.
Oh, the phone number. All right. Here we go. This is for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan and also to find out about your meetings and everything else that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So you can call 800-444-6443. That's toll free. Or you can go to their website, which is BIAMI.org, Brain Injury Association of Michigan. Pretty smart, huh? I got one minute to go here. So I've got to wrap it up. So, Arlene, we got 1 minute.
Okay. Well, I just want to encourage all the veterans out there to please call, join us. It's a great group. It's just a bunch of women, and sometimes we even do lunch. That's always good.
All right. Diane, I'll give you the last comment on your traumatic brain injury, Brain Injury Association.
Well, the Brain Injury Association is, we're real excited about this group and partnering with Arlene's group. And yes, any women out there, veteran or non-military women, please call us. We think this group will provide a lot of benefit for you.
Okay, we'll do that. Maria, thank you very much for being on the program. Just thank you, and best of luck to you, and hope we can get you back on here. So
thank
we're down
you.
To 5 seconds, so I got to say, you are dismissed.